listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
Yes, you are.
I am.
And I am Paul Strolley.
Yes,
I'm back,
are.
And I'm bigger than ever. Yes.
Welcome back, Paul.
Yes, thank you. I don't know where I was.
I don't either, but you're going to tell us, I'm sure, in a minute, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, we'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at breakdownexpress.com.
Our thanks also goes out to performingartslive.com for their ongoing support of our live arts calendar. But first, let's say hello to our guests for today, shall we?
Yes, indeed. And you've known her and you have loved her for many years as Gloria Stivick in the iconic television series All in the Family. Miss Sally Struthers will be calling in from rehearsals for Cabrillo Music Theater's production of the Broadway musical Annie at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza in Thousand Oaks.
And in studio with us today is Sally's co-star, Broadway's always thrilling Norman Large, who plays Daddy Warbucks in Annie. And from television and The Great Right Way, the lovely and talented Miss Cassie Silva is here. Give it up for both of them.
Nice. Huh? Nice of you to stop by.
How are
you?
Having us.
Yeah? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Where's glad that applause button? I want to take that thing with me.
Don't we all?
We got, oh, you know what? I think, you know what? Actually, I think we got Sally calling in right now.
Is
How
she?
Convenient would that
it
be?
Must
let's,
be a little later.
I've answered the phone. Let's see if she is there, but we're looking for a Sally Struthers. Do we have one?
Hello.
Hello.
Well, hello
Sally. Thank you so much for calling in. This is Paul, and I know you know Michael from our last conversations that we had when you were in Cinderella was the last time you spoke to us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Good to talk to you again, and Michael, you too, and you have Norman there, I understand.
Hi, Sally. I'm here.
Hello, Norman Large.
Are you slaving away there in rehearsals, I hope?
I am slaving away. I don't know why I'm having to work this hard, and you get to sit in a nice radio studio and relax, and you're probably having a glass of wine or something.
Could I have a little less vermouth in this?
It's okay.
Yes.
How many olives does one man need?
All of them, and then a final...
All of them, that's right.
Oh. So, Sally, thank you so much for joining us again. Are you having as much fun with this one? It sure sounds like it, given the conversation with your co-star here.
Yeah, it could be my favorite show. I have enough shows under my belt now to actually come to the realization of which ones I look forward to and which ones I'm taking because I have to pay my mortgage.
Well, Sally, you...
And this is definitely my top show. I wanted to do it from the first time I saw it in the early 70s on Broadway. And I saw Dorothy Loudon, you know, do such an incredible job and win a Tony for it. And I said to anybody that wanted to listen, when I'm old enough, I want to play Miss Hannigan.
Well, I
and
think
I've
this
done
is
it a
my,
lot, a lot
this is
now,
Norman,
and I love it.
This is Norman, and I think this is my favorite performance of yours. But then again, I think that whatever performance you're doing is going to be my favorite performance of yours.
You see, I've got him trained, boys.
Well, he's trained, and he's also reading those cards you
Drop
supplied
page.
Him with.
Yeah.
So that's the just.
I understand you have Cassie Silva there too.
Yes,
we do.
Yes,
indeed.
Hi, Cassie. You're doing something out in Pasadena?
Yes, ma'am. I am.
What are you doing?
I am doing South Street at the Pasadena Playhouse, and
now you have to tell me what South Street is about because I've never seen it.
South Street is it's about an eclectic family in Philadelphia, and kind of the story about how their bar and club and beloved place is at risk of being taken from them, and kind of goes back and forth from the 80s to 97, and I kind of play the daughters in 97. And I do a little bit of a comedic role, so I kind of follow in a bit of your footsteps. I'm a huge fan, by the way.
And is it a musical?
It is. It's a musical. It has has original works from Richard Edrisi.
So you get to sing, too?
Yes, absolutely. I sing a really hip song. It's called Cool Dad.
Cassie's actually got a number.
Well, when's it running? Maybe I can come see it.
We have been open now for a week, and we're running through the 16th. I would love for you to come and see it. I actually am rather excited to come and see you on stage. I've been a huge fan, which for a very long time, and I actually saw you in Cinderella, Cabrillo, which I enjoyed so much, and have been a fan of yours since I was a kid. So I'm really excited to come and see you at Annie.
I think some other people enjoyed her performance as well, meaning Sally's performance, as she received the Ovation Award.
Oh, that's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And that was totally unexpected. That blew me away.
That I said it or that you got the award?
Both, Norman, both. But I was sitting there and I thought, the women that I was up against had so much more to do in their musicals and so much bigger parts. And I thought, there's no way that I'm going to win it for this wonderful but very small part of The Fairy Godmother.
But you do so much with the part that you have, and that's why.
Absolutely. It was so memorable. Oh, my gosh.
Sally, let me ask you, given The Fairy Godmother and now Miss Hannigan, what do you like better, good or evil? Which of the characters, who do you dig more?
Well, this is a comical bed. This is I've had a great deal of trouble in my career playing someone who's bad or evil, and it's not a funny role. It's not a sitcom. It's not a musical. It's just a part on a cop show or something. I'm not very convincing. but if I get to play comedy bad, then it's delicious. What's really delicious for me is that I think people know spent so many years stumping for all the hungry and disenfranchised children on the planet Earth and trying to get people to open up their wallets and do very little but something and help. And so to get to play a woman on stage who despises children and is tormented by them is such a wonderful twist for me. I really love it.
Oh, that's very, very funny.
You could only get away with that, I think, saying it the way you just did. It was wonderful. Now, Sally, you're no stranger to this role, though, right? You've done this before, Miss Hannigan?
Oh, I've done it a lot. Yeah, they did it. They did it 14 years ago on Broadway as the 25th anniversary of Annie, and I'm not quite sure why. I'll go to my grave not understanding why they chose Nell Carter to play Miss Hannigan. She did.
That's a curious
And they wanted to take it straight off of Broadway and take the Broadway company and go out on tour. And Nell did not want to do the tour, so they were looking for someone else to take over. And I went to New York and met with Martin Charnon and had a lovely meeting with him, and I read a few lines, and it made him laugh. And he said, great, I want to take you over to a dance studio now and meet Peter Gennaro, the original choreographer. So I met Peter, he was a wonderful man with a delicious biliteral lisp. And so just hearing him say my name killed me. I went, Sally Struthers, she's so nice to see you. Could you just try a few steps? Just try the steps. They're simple. But I think you can do them. I danced around the room with him, and she said, oh, you move marvelously. I said, she's the gal for the part. So then they said, now we have to go over to Charles Strauss's apartment and sing for him. And I thought, well, this has got to be a shoe-in because Charles Strauss wrote the opening song for All in the Family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wrote the theme song.
Remembering You?
No, boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Oh, so okay. The closing song was Remembering You. The closing song, the outro song, I believe, was called Remembering You. So I'm a bit of an All in the Family fan.
I went to Charles Strauss's apartment, and Martin Charnon was there, and the producers were there, and there was a piano player there, and I opened up my sheet music, and I had just done a musical in Roanoke, Virginia, based on the love story of King Edward VIII of England, who, you know, abdicated the throne to marry Wallace Simpson, the American divorcee, and I had the only funny role in the show. I played the hostess with the mostess in England, who put through all the big parties, and I had a couple of comedy songs in it, and I thought, well, you know, the musical's 25 years old now. You know, Charles Strauss has heard, you know, 120 women sing Little Girls, and he's probably heard it 8,000 times. So I'll show him I can carry a tune and I can be funny while I'm singing, but I'll sing him a new song so that he just won't be hearing the same old thing again. I started in on the song, and he started talking about me like I wasn't in the room. He turned to the people in the room, and he said, what's she singing that damn song for? And I slowly petered out on the song, and the piano player petered out on the ivories, and we just stared at Charles Strauss, and I was mortified, and I said, well, would you like me to sing something else? He says, yeah, Little Girls. I don't have the sheet music for that. He says, well, I do. So he gave it to the piano player, and I started to sing it. By the time I left there, I was sweating buckets, and Martin Charnham put his hand on my back to help me into a taxi cab, and I said, don't touch me. He said, what's the matter? I said, I'm sopping wet. Charles Strauss just horrified me. So I rode away in the cab thinking, well, I didn't get that job. He thought I was some biatch that I didn't want to sing his song. But then I got it, and I toured for a year and a half, doing Annie all over the country in every big theater in every city across this great land of ours.
It has to be really comforting to come back to a show that you love so much but is made new by all of the new people that you're working with. I mean, that has to be the best part of it. I would think it'd keep it new for you.
It does, because the new people you're working with, bringing new things to the table and to the rehearsal, make me come up with new line readings and new bits because they're doing something new. So just when you think you can't reinvent the wheel, you do.
Right. Oh, no, I'm excited to see this one.
Well, that's terrific. And, you know, Sally, we can't thank you enough for joining us. I don't want Lewis to get upset with us for keeping you too long, and I notice we're a couple of minutes past the promised time of 4:10 to get you back into rehearsal.
Yeah, and you know what? Get Norman to come over here. We need him.
We're going to send him directly from here. Right.
I didn't bring my designated driver. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, Paul, we should tell people how they can see Sally and Norman.
We'll sign off with Sally first and thank her for joining us so she can get back to rehearsal, and then I will kick off the how people will get the tickets. Sally, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Michael. Have fun with your show, Cassie.
Thank you so much.
See you tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Bye.
I love you.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Bye-bye, Sally.
Bye. Oh, that was fun. She's great. Okay, Annie will open on Friday, October 14th, and run through Sunday, October 23rd. Performances are Thursdays at 7:30, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Saturdays and Sundays at 2. Additional performances have already been added on Wednesday, October 19th at 11, and on Sunday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. A post-show discussion with cast, staff, and audience will follow the Saturday, October 15th, 2 o'clock performance. Tickets are on sale and may be purchased at Thousand Oaks Civic Art Plaza box office located 2100 Thousand Oaks Boulevard in the magic that is Thousand Oaks, or through Ticketmaster locations, or by phone calling 800-745-3000. And there's a website too, Michael. Do you know where it is? I don't see it on here, but I'm sure there's a website for Cabrillo Music Theater. But
it is CabrilloMusicTheater.org.
Is that it? And
yes.
Theater is the affected R-E spelling.
That's correct.
It is the theater. Right. And once again, the number for tickets is 805-497-8613.
And you know, Sally is also doing something wonderful for Cabrillo. She is doing a fundraising evening called Off Script and Off the Record, and we'll perform that on Monday evening, October 17th, in the Founders Room of the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. And to check into the opportunity to be with her up close and personal like that, you can reach out to Cabrillo Music Theater. You know what I said, .org? I'm sorry, Paul. It is CabrilloMusicTheater.com.
But still the R-E?
Yes, still the R-E. Oh. And you can also call Cabrillo Music Theater's office at 805-497-8613, extension 4, to learn about ticket prices. That should be a great evening.
I'm sorry about that, but that earlier sound. We have a puma in here that we just...
Cabrillo Music Theater.
We're puma and pirates. We have both in here.
Thanks, Norman.
And while we have Norman, let's introduce Norman while we're on our Annie kick and continue the discussion of Annie and the production. Do you have Norman's intro, Michael?
I do, Paul.
Where is
he appeared
intro?
On Broadway in Les Miserables and The Woman in White, and is a multi-nominated Ovation Award nominee for his work in such Los Angeles theater productions as Sweeney Todd, Le Cachot Fall, and Phantom. He returns to Cabrillo Music Theater's production of Annie as Daddy Warbucks, as Paul said earlier, opening October 14th at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza in the Fred Cavalli Theater. Please welcome Mr. Norman Lard.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll be down in a minute. Thank you. Gotta get me one of those buttons.
Yeah.
Notice he didn't put it in front of me, did he?
Button? No. Button?
What do you mean? Button. Who's got the button?
Who's got the button? Yes. So are you having as much fun with this as you seem to be? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, Sally Struthers is just such a cruel, heartless woman.
Isn't she? Obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she's not perspiring as much as she did in that particular story in working with me. My perspiration, of course, shows because I've shaved my head.
I gotta say, you can pull it off.
Yeah, it's a dashing look.
It is. Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you see some people who have the shaved head and they just, you know, it doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, it would not work for me.
Thank you.
Because I would just look like one of those thermometer ducks.
I look a little bit like one. Just get the stick in the right place and I'm going on.
But it's not the first time you shaved your head for this role.
No, I did it actually 7-8 years ago right there at Cabrillo again. So
oh, really?
Doing it again.
Right there? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Same place. Yeah, so I was accustomed to being shaved. And do you know what? It's cold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but at least you're doing the show in hot weather. At least it's not January or February.
Last time I did it, for some reason, it was colder. I was shocked at how cold it was. I understood that stocking cap thing that people wear in the olden days, wearing them to bed. I wore it to bed, too.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. You have no idea how cold it is until you lose that stuff
on top.
Well,
they say 75% of the heat comes out of the top
of
your head.
Exactly, yeah, right.
Really?
Right.
And your feet.
And your feet?
Yeah.
Boy, then I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Because I have far too much surface area. No wonder my feet are always cold, because I got these skin-covered toboggans for
and
feet.
And that's why they call them stocking caps.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on 1 second. Would you say that again, please?
That's why they call them stocking caps. Oh, I got one of those buttons, too.
Yeah. You know, well, I have other ones, too. So
Let me ask you something. How often do you have to keep that?
Shave?
Yeah.
I kind of shave it every day, but I'm a novice at it, so I don't know.
But
I cut the heck out of myself
yeah,
the other
say.
Day.
Yeah.
A little blood running down my side of my
okay,
face.
Suggestion for that, the Gillette Quattro.
That's what I was using.
Yes.
But I think, and I have no problem with the razor. I probably slid it sideways. You know?
No, it's got, but that's the thing. It's got four blades on it, so it's just one pass.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm Italian, and I'm basically becoming a chia pet as I get older.
I see.
So I'm learning about all of these manscaped. I want you to not have to be able to feel it at all.
So I do multiple passes. You know, one pass with the razor and a pass with the hand. To make
sure.
And I probably slid the blade sideways. So. I was thinking about Sweeney, and there you go.
Yeah.
So what? I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, Michael, you take it.
No, you.
Please. No, in Sweeney, you played the role, right?
Yeah, Mr. Todd.
So, wow.
Yeah. A number of times.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, did you see it?
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen Mr. Large on the stage before. Yeah.
That has to be one of the greatest experiences of all time, having the opportunity to address that particular material.
I bet. Let me ask you a question while we're talking about Sweeney Todd. What did you think of the movie version of it?
It wasn't for me. It wasn't for me, really, because to me it was. I'm sort of married to the piece, and I've analyzed the piece rather, well, I hope rather deeply, and that was a different look at it, as it would have to be for film. But it wasn't really for me. I like him to be a little different from that.
Well, what did you think of it, Michael?
I actually liked it
a
lot. Really a lot. It was very dark and very, you know, gory and all of those kinds of things. But I thought Johnny Depp did an amazing job in it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was beautifully photographed.
Oh,
Let's ask our other guest. Who's doing it? Am I detecting a little bit of an eye roll over there?
Ms. Silva?
No, not at all. No, I think that they're completely different. I think when you look at musicals from a TV film kind of standpoint, I personally am one for live theater. I think that that telling a story on stage, especially with something like Sweeney Todd and the score, there's just something that is so
visceral.
Yeah, about, you know, when all the sopranos go up, Sweeney. I mean, it's just, I will never forget it, sitting in the theater and your heart is pounding and your
I have to say, though, that what the film did do is it brought the piece, and it brought Stephen Sondheim to the masses.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it brought them to the theater.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it made it possible to do that show in a way that wasn't possible prior to that time when
I
it came out.
So I'm
grateful to it.
I was going to make the same point. It's exactly what The Color Purple did with the film did with the Broadway show.
Right.
Yeah. And so many people to the theater for the first time ever.
Right.
And Lord knows we need to bring that median age of ticket buyer down, because we have to get young people into the theaters.
Absolutely.
Because you look now at the primary, the median age of a ticket buyer, and it's 58, I think.
Is
no,
sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Like that. That's the median age. So a little bit, but you know, and women, and primarily women. 70% of theater tickets are bought from by women.
I didn't know those statistics.
Yeah, it's a little shocking.
Yeah.
And which answers a lot of questions, right? We were talking earlier, perhaps before we went on the air, about the difficulty in getting people to theater and blaming it on transportation, cars, getting in your car and making a commitment and driving to theaters.
But very often ticket prices are very high, too. I mean, a Broadway show on Broadway, the capitalization, when I did The Woman in White, which was 5 years ago, the capitalization was $27 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mere drop in the bucket
by comparison to
Spider-Man.
You have to run at 95% capacity to break even.
Mm-hmm. And they say you have to get through 3 months in New York before you begin bringing in the people from outside of the New York area, the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tourists are seeing the ones that have survived that three-month period. So you've got...
An interesting point, though, and I'm curious about this, and we actually didn't get a chance to do our little intro because Sally called right away, so we have a little bit more time on this, but I'm curious about this point, talking about the musical Sweeney Todd and the film version. Just extemporaneously, can you think of a live musical, like a regular musical theater piece, that got as good or better a treatment in film, or was made into a new thing that like survived on its own separate, like this is a great film and it would be a great film? Because I find that about, even though it's a little dated now, I loved the way Jesus Christ Superstar was done, because it was done so theatrically. It was like a troupe of players, and they came in and it was these sort of nebulous areas and not genuine sets and things. So that always sticks with me in terms of taking a musical and making it a film, but creating a new thing out of it. And I don't know if anyone else can think of any examples with it.
I think Chicago certainly did.
Yeah, Chicago's done that way.
Yeah,
well, Chicago was both.
A little
magic
bit of both.
Of that was
of
having both. The onstage thing happen and the real world thing, which I thought was a great
convention. Sure. I don't know if it would be in comparison and whatnot, but I will say that the way that I actually was introduced to theater was through films. And I used to go over to my grandmother's house, and my mother would, on sick days or for whatever reason, would play, Gypsy and Meet Me in St. Louis and Singing in the Rain and all of those kind of films, that they've brought to stage or have come from stage. I mean, like we were saying, if it gets out to the masses, and, here I am doing musical theater and TV and film and things like that. And I think that if I hadn't been introduced to such films as those that were iconic, and you look at Judy Garland and Bette Midler and Bernadette Peters and, even the Cinderella version, which I think was really great for TV. Was it Geppetto even? Like back then? Was it Drew Carey?
Back then,
the right
I did
name?
That.
Yeah.
That's the right name.
Well, it was Pinocchio, but he played Geppetto.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was called Geppetto.
Geppetto.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like a new take on his
part. I remember auditioning for that when I was like 6 or 7. but yes,
what?
I will say
that again. You auditioned for it when? Okay.
When I was about 6 or 7.
Oh my gosh.
I appreciate filmmakers that are able to take an artistic view, even if I don't choose them in particular.
Right.
But I think that there are so many that are so great.
They adapted the West Side Story as
pretty fabulous
film there rather than as a representation of the
it's
stage.
It's different.
Yeah.
But Sweeney Todd is also available. It was done for PBS in 1982.
Yeah. Len Carreyrou and...
No, that was George Hearn at that particular point. Original was Len Carreyrou, but George Hearn did it. And it was filmed here in Los Angeles on stage. So it was a film of the...
Like a PBS...
Yeah, exactly. Like what the Live from Lincoln Center series was.
Okay.
But they videoed it when it was in between. They'd do performance at night, and they'd do some shots of the audience. But then during the day, they would film it on the stage.
Right, so they can get the cameras up
right.
there.
And I believe that that's available, too, with Angela Lansbury and George Turner.
I saw Angela Lansbury and Len Carreyrou on stage in the early 80s when I was living
as
in Connecticut.
Did I.
Yeah. It was phenomenal.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jealous.
You know, Norman, you have done so many other great shows. You've done The King and I assume, playing The King.
No, I played Lun Ta.
Oh, you did?
It was that long ago.
Oh, you didn't play The King, but you're completely bald.
I know.
You can play it now.
There was a time, back when I was a Lun Ta, there was a time then when I could have played The King, but today there is the issue of having an Asian man play an Asian character.
Gotcha.
So it ain't going to happen.
I see. You'll have the whole Jonathan Pryce issue happening again. Was it Jonathan Pryce that happened with...
That's part of where it started there.
That's where it started,
a little before with
Miss
M. Butterfly,
Saigon?
Actually.
Oh, okay. But he was Miss Saigon, wasn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was Lun Ta, and I had to play with my shirt off, and I remember having a little cake plate with a picture of one of the guys from one of those muscle cartoons, and I would draw big muscles on my chest and my stomach, and they'd get bigger every day.
And when you performed in Sunday in the Park with George, one of my favorite shows, you played?
George.
Yes.
Well, that Dot, I'm sorry. Yeah,
Where did you do that?
We did that out here. We actually did it at Reprise prior to the more recent one.
Nice.
Done by Reprise. And I produced it with my singing partner, Christina Safran. And we do symphony concerts around the country, singing pops material. And we produced that as a charity. We did it in collaboration with Reprise. We did it in collaboration with CLO of South Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And we also produced it ourselves.
And does Daddy Warbucks, is it right up there with your favorite roles?
He is. He really is, because he's a highly compassionate man, but doesn't know he's highly compassionate until he meets this entity that brings, who presents to him his missing link.
Right.
And once they come together, they are together as whole human beings, but without each other, they are not whole. So it's a great part.
Yeah, and it's a great show, actually.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
Even if it's one that you can, it's a classic. You can mm-hmm. see it, and certainly generations, every generation, should see this show. It's like
a kids show.
Oh,
it
no,
is a kids
no.
show, but it's
and
it's an
fitting.
Adult show
it's
too.
It's quite fitting for mm-hmm. the times that we're in.
Oh, sure.
Right now.
Much more so than when I did it 7 or 8 years ago. The issues that are addressed in it. In some respects, are very similar to what's going on today. There's a political issue that's addressed in it that is about the Great Depression, and it's presented in a way that you'd swear it was written about today.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's uplifting, and we should certainly tell people how to go see this one more time, Paul.
Do you want to do that again? You want to wait till the end of the hour?
We can tag it at the end too.
We can do that. We'll wrap it up with both of them, so people listening know they can have their pens out and write down the phone numbers
good.
And everything.
We'll do that,
so
and we'll save it for the end. But shall we do a little bit of our?
Let's do our arts calendar. I'm more than happy to kick that off.
All right.
For those of you who can't get enough of musical theater, our good friends at the Pasadena Playhouse are offering you the opportunity to attend a performance of the all-new musical South Street, which we'll be talking about shortly, on Sunday, October 9th at 7 o'clock. The story, from an old firehouse to a strip joint to the now celebrated location of the annual Full Moon Festival, Sammy's Place, has been a fixture on Philadelphia's eclectic South Street for decades. It's a place where the locals come to celebrate life and to discover the legendary magic of the rabbit that dwells in Sammy's moon clock hanging over the bar.
That's right, Paul. And the club now lies at a crossroads with the ownership threatened and its future in jeopardy. Experience a song and dance-filled magical evening of love, laughter, and family on South Street, an all-new musical comedy at the Pasadena Playhouse. And all you have to do is write to us at stateoftheartsla@gmail.com and tell us why you want to be a part of this very special Los Angeles premiere. Please make certain that you include your contact information when writing us, and the winner will be selected by return email before or by Friday, October 8th.
Exactly. And for more information about South Street or any of the many wonderful opportunities in the performing arts throughout Southern California, you can visit either stateoftheartsla.com or performingarts.com. live.com, the number one go-to site for checking out what's happening on our stages every day of the week. Now, our next guest, she too has appeared on Broadway in the smash hit musical Rock of Ages, as well as the show's U.S. national tour, and has also starred in such Southland productions as White Christmas and the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, for which she received an Ovation nomination. She's currently on stage at the Pasadena Playhouse in South Street, please welcome Cassie Silva.
Yes, they love you.
Yes. Thank you, thank you.
It's all right. Yes. How long do we keep that go?
How long does it go?
Some people actually prefer the underscore for their whole interview. Yeah, I could just sort of bring it down.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I'll just start tap dancing. My goodness.
Thanks for joining us,
well,
Cassie.
Thank you for having me so much.
You have individually raised the visual aesthetics of the room highly over the rest of us here.
We're indeed. Lovely. Yeah.
You're far too attractive for radio. You're a very pretty woman.
Oh my, thank you so yes. much. I appreciate that. Wow.
I've always been told I had a face for radio. Did you know?
Really?
That old joke.
I think you're very handsome.
Oh, stop. You need to get out more. Anyway. I look better with a shaved head, actually. So you're having a good time?
I'm having a blast. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Who did we have on?
It's your debut at Pasadena Playhouse.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Pasadena Playhouse debut, which is fantastic, and happy to have the Pasadena Playhouse up and running again. And
yes.
Just such an honor to be in that gorgeous space.
And who did we have on from South Street last week?
Jim Holdridge.
Jim Holdridge, yes. Yeah. He was his Stitch. Very,
Jimmy.
Very funny.
Yeah. Shout out to him.
Jimmy. Did you take out a thing for me? You sound like a mobster just
then. Oh,
my.
Well, he kind of plays a little bit of a
oh, does
role
he?
Like that, too. I
yeah.
mean, he's like a little bit of a tough guy in that show.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. He does a good job.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah, he was very, very fun.
I'll tell you, I love, love, love the set of your show.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like
gorgeous,
so
right?
beautiful. You walk into the theater, and it's like, oh my gosh,
yes.
and you know you're in for
oh, yeah.
a ride with that.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'll
the way
for...
that it turns and
yeah.
becomes, you know, something
the
else.
The rotating stage. Both
yeah.
actually both sides of our stage rotate to accommodate sort of the outside and the inside of South Street, which is kind of what we're trying to accomplish is this community, this street, South Street in Philadelphia. I'll never forget when we first came in, one of our first rehearsals, they showed us the little 3D kind of, what do you call it? It's like the size of a dollhouse. And
diorama
little,
or model, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they kind of just like spun it for us and everybody, ooh, oh. And they had, you know, just this tiny little person stuck on the little thing. We were like, oh my gosh. And, you know, then there
it
is. You know, and then there it is. And it's a blast.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The set is something that you go away completely remembering. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Now, I know that you touched on the synopsis early in the hour when Sally asked you about it, but would you mind giving another sort of brief synopsis of the story and how
sure.
your role figures into it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I play Crystal, who is the daughter of Johnny Blue, who is played by Brent Schindel, and my mother, who is the lead of the show, who is Chloe Fields, is Maria Eberlein, and it's about an eclectic family and kind of this place, which, you know, is used to be an old firehouse, and it turns into, you know, what is it? I think like a burlesque house, and then more or less.
That's probably the most polite way to put it, wouldn't you say?
I would imagine so.
You know, and just kind of, then it becomes, you know, this family place where everybody kind of meets, and then, you know, there's the full moon festival that they come up with within the course of our show, and it goes from, you know, the early 80s to about like 97, which is where I come in. Mm-hmm. It really just follows this really great little companionship of this small, tightly wound, you know, not blood related family, and kind of how they've all kind of stuck together through all these trials and tribulations, and then, you know, Jim Holdridge mm-hmm. and Ben Goldsmith, who play Tony Enrico Pacigalupe, come and they kind of are like snarky and they try to steal the club away, and it kind of just follows that storyline. And there's also like a bit of a love story between, you know, my mother and father, and kind of how Johnny Blue becomes famous, kind of leaves, and there really is some great character work done, especially you know, by Valerie Perry
right,
and Ezra
she's
Buzzington.
Always, she's
yes.
always a pleasure.
Yeah,
isn't
and
she?
Yeah. and Harrison White. You know, there's so many great people that are involved in the project, and they just really do some great character work, and are should really be commemorated. You know, I love working with them. They really are such an inspiration.
And these are all names that these names that we keep hearing on the show,
right,
of all these people that just work locally all the time.
Yeah.
Not just locally, but
they're very much our regional, theater stars and SoCal stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of all these names, you're finally providing me with an education on this stuff, because you're far more familiar with it than I am. You know.
Well, in the world of musicals, I tend to, which is kind of where I like to live in theater. I appreciate all theater, but I really appreciate musicals. And you are...
I'm darker, Michael. I like my shows with the seeds and the stems still in them. Gritty.
So you've educated me in your... likes, right?
That's why you make a good team.
Yeah.
I think so.
why did you say likes with such contempt? You've educated me with your likes.
With the likes of you.
With the likes of you.
Sounds like a song.
Cassie, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is because the very first time that I ever laid eyes on you was on television.
Oh, my.
And that was in your participation in MTV's Quest for... Legally Blonde, the search for Elle Woods.
Oh, my. She was one of the final
contestants.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And all of America watched this young lady go through weeks and weeks of, all of the training and the backstabbing and the nail biting and then all those kinds of things that go on in those reality shows.
Is that as stressful as it looks?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, reality TV is, very much... I mean, what can really be said for it? But
it's anything but reality.
It is very crazy, and honestly, we were teamed with such a great group of girls, and everybody was, the funny part about it was that we actually were all very professional and actually really enjoyed each other's company, which was kind of funny about it. And actually, to be honest, I'd only done one show, one real professional production on stage at that point, which was Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which is actually at Cabrillo Music Theater in Thousand Oaks, and then I kind of... Absolutely, there you go. and then, I ended up on this show, and I think that what I took away from it was actually so much respect for live theater, and kind of that's really what catapulted me into kind of saying, I can do that, and I want to do that, and where do I go? What do? Where do I sign? So on and so forth. But that's funny that that's.
Did you go through the auditions of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of girls?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they auditioned around the country and whatnot, mm-hmm. and I auditioned here in LA, and then we kind of like packed our bags and went to New York, and we did essentially compete against all of these people and so on and so forth, and lots of interviews and dance auditions and singing auditions. And yes, the show was very much a part of kind of showing how the audition process somewhat goes and all of that.
Not always so pleasant. They, portrayed the other side of it too.
Yes. Well, I actually was the mean girl on that show. So
you were.
That's kind of fun.
You were a little edgy on the show.
Well, I could certainly see why. I didn't want to say anything because you're just so nasty and
mean-spirited. No, it was fun to play the mean girl. I like it. My family still teases that when I get like grouchy or cranky or something, they always call me Cassie S, and that's quote unquote.
Oh.
That's like the mean ego, version.
Oh, I'm gonna remember that. Now,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I played your father not too long
That's
ago.
That's right. We should probably touch on that.
What
did
you play?
Meet Me in St. Louis together. Yeah. Meet Me in St. Louis at Musical Theater West.
Nice. I heard it was a wonderful show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. With also a beautiful set.
Yes, of course.
Say daddy for me one more time.
Daddy.
Norman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a sound effect for that.
His shaved head is crimson red.
That was a fun show, though. We actually had ice on stage. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. We literally ice skated on stage.
You had ice?
What was it?
It was Teflon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do? Is it just like
those kids things that playground that go together like a jigsaw puzzle,
except
it's Teflon and they fit it all together and you can sharpen up your ice skates and go
That's
ice
right.
skating.
And you use actual ice skates?
Real ice
skates. It's not like a special.
No.
I'm just thinking like the special magnetic skate.
Oh yeah.
That you don't even have to know how to skate. They just sort of drag you along.
Yeah, there's a magnet underneath that just.
Right.
And when you want to spin. Boy, get ready.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. I was quite clumsy on those things. Oh, my gosh. Like, other than the actual music playing in that number, the second that the curtain, that it was either black or the curtain went down, I would just fall flat on my tush, you know, just done. I had, was not graceful on those things at all. I literally could skate from one side to the other.
Well, I was, you speak, I was actually a waiter in one of those rotating restaurants.
Top of a building
yeah,
kind of thing?
Yeah, the only problem was this restaurant rotated about 75 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
We're all stuck to
Can you say
I'm
where?
Kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's all fabricated. I was trying to think of something related to the skating thing.
I always found that the...
And the grooves in the floor. Yeah. And that's where my mind went, was rotating restaurant at 75 miles
per
hour.
But the outside rotates.
Everyone's not a gem. I'm sorry?
And if you have enough... If you have a few drinks, every time you have to go to the bathroom, you can't. It's a new finding it all. Anew. You can, well, it's not in the same direction again.
Actually, no. There is a bar in New Orleans at the Hotel Monteleon. It's called the Carousel Bar. And the bar itself is an old carousel. And the bar stays stationary, but the stools rotate around the bar.
Oh, how bizarre.
And very, very, very slowly. But it is very unnerving to come out of the restroom and the people you were seated with have not moved, but now they're...
Well, talk about unnerving in restaurants. I was in a bar once in, I think it was in Florida, doing a job. And you walk into the men's room, and the urinal is at a wall where the people are sitting at a bar 6 inches from you with a one-way mirror.
Oh, wow.
I think you were in the wrong kind of
Boy, that would make you gun-shy, wouldn't it?
It was, yeah. It was hysterical.
You know, I've heard of that place. Seriously. It's famous for that, right?
Yeah, and I didn't know it was coming.
Yeah. Wow.
Walked it. Whoa.
Yeah, that is... Well, I know that there's a restaurant in New York that has the doors that ghost. You know, those things, those doors that when you close them, they get a fog effect.
Oh.
So that the bathroom door is completely clear... And you can see that there's no one in the restroom. Huh. But if you go in the restroom and shut the door, the door fogs up.
But nobody does go in because they think it's just a glass window.
Exactly. All right. I don't know how we got on
the
whole
restroom
thing.
Even in Los Angeles at the Magic Castle, they have that at their bar. They have the stools that, you know, go up.
Oh,
and down
right.
at the bar.
I thought you were going to say
so
there was a urinal
slowly.
That talks to you and
Shoot.
you can ask it for recommendations.
Sounds like a business
that's the
idea.
Piano.
Oh,
the piano.
Okay, so then it wasn't my three martinis at the Magic Castle.
No,
it was
but it's so slow
stuff.
That you don't actually, you can be sitting there talking to the person next to you and you do not realize.
And you don't realize
and you're
it.
Suddenly ahead above them. Right. And you don't realize it.
I'm going to forgo the obvious joke there.
So, lady, hey, before, hey, like.
Anyway, let's tell people how they can get tickets for Cassie's show for South Street.
Yeah,
I will,
absolutely.
I will kick that off, Michael, if you.
Sure.
Let's see. We want the Pasadena Playhouse box office. Tickets are available by calling them at 626-356-7529. That's 626-356-7529. Or by visiting them. And the dates here, I don't have an address.
September 16th.
I put a nice little yellow highlight on this stuff for you, and you hand me paragraphs.
I didn't. You printed this, Paul.
I know. I had perfect eyesight until the morning of my 45th birthday.
Huh.
Everything was perfect. And
that
then
was the
I woke up
gift, I guess.
And then I woke up the morning of, and I might as well have just gone out and got a German Shepherd. I mean, it was terrible.
September 16th.
Thank you, Michael.
October 16th. So it's on stage now, and tickets are available, as Paul said, by calling the Pasadena Playhouse box office at 626-356-7529 or visiting the box office. In person, 12 to 5 p.m., Tuesday through Sunday, and you can certainly go online, pasadenaplayhouse.org, and purchase tickets.
That was so cool. Thank you, Cassie.
Yes.
Thank you for having you on. We have our 5 minutes. We can do our usual baptism of...
this is important.
This is important.
Your, yeah. We're going to start with Norman.
This is sharing with us the weirdest thing, funniest thing, oddest thing to ever happen to
ever
you
happened
on,
to
stage,
me on stage
or in performance.
Yeah. So,
they're excited just for that.
I don't blame them. When I was doing The Woman in White, which was Andrew Lloyd Webber's last piece.
The play.
First the bada bump.
But when I was doing The Woman in White, I'm sorry.
The play.
The play, yes.
All right, I didn't follow that for a second. I had to wear the suit wasn't 300 pounds, but it was a suit that made me look like I was 300 pounds. So I was encased in foam rubber with a wig. And the only thing that was me that showed was the back of my hands and my eyeballs.
And while performing, I had to perform with a live rat running around on my shoulders, a trained rat, trained by the same guy who trained the dog that's going to be an Annie. And so the rat was supposed to run back and forth across my shoulders on cue. And for some reason, the back of my wig had come a little bit loose.
Oh.
And so the rat scampered across my shoulders and went up inside my wig. While I was singing, and I had to continue singing and reach up inside my wig from behind to try to retrieve the rat. That's on Broadway, heavens. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
wow. Oh my gosh.
That is out of a horror movie. Yeah. That is,
I think that's one of the best.
All right.
Excuse me, one of the better stories we've had. That was one of the more creepy stories.
Right? Yes.
Wow, and on Broadway. And no one was the wiser in the audience, were they?
No, they weren't. The rat just kept doing its thing. I kept doing my thing. I'm not sure which one was the trained rat.
The rat just wanted more stage time.
They didn't even know it was up in there. I guess they thought my head was just doing one of those Star Trek-y kind of things.
Oh, my God.
My heaven.
And I mean, that creeps me out. And I had rats as pets growing up. I used to have, lab rats, like the white rats.
Little hamsters and stuff?
No, not hamsters. But they're really smart. Rats are really smart. And they're actually very, very clean. It's our environment that makes them
dirty. It's the mice that are not so clean, because I had to perform with a mouse in the show, too.
Yeah.
And they had to have somebody follow me around with wipes, because no matter when they put the mouse in your hand, it pees in your hand.
I had my rat trained to use a little litter box I created out of an ashtray. That's how smart these animals were.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Well, they say we're closer to rats than we are to apes, supposedly.
Well, yes, but they mean actors,
some of them.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Agents.
Have you ever eaten with one?
Cassie, what is your tale?
Oh, mine's not as clever. Shoot.
Oh, no.
Well, I guess I would say, aside from breaking many bones and having to kind of just bear it on stage, which I actually did pretty much every production of 42nd Street that I did, I'd break an ankle or crack an arm or something like that. There was an instance where I did Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which, like I said, was my very first show. And there's a moment where each brother is kidnapping their sister or whoever they are, the brides.
Right.
And my scenario was that they had this kind of imagine a picture frame kind of thing, but large. And it was supposed to look like a giant window. And I go kind of looking out for my kitty cat. And I'm like, here, kitty, kitty. And I kind of get picked up, if you can imagine this, almost in a handstand. And then I'm supposed to be carried over the shoulder of this, brother. And he runs off stage. But he used to throw a blanket over me so as to say, I'm kidnapping you. And threw the blanket over me, picked me up, tripped, and just dropped me on my head completely upside down.
Oh.
I bashed my head open, and the whole audience it sounded like a basketball game for a good second. I was like, oh!
Wow.
I think you actually have that sound bite. but yes, it was, we'll wait for it.
I don't think I do.
Wait.
So that was me when the rat was going up.
No, it was actually not really that painful, but it was actually kind of funny because I just totally ate the floor and the whole audience went, that's a good one.
Sorry, it said laughing, so I was doing it. Then parenthetically, because I'm going blind, baby in parentheses.
Oh,
it was a laughing baby.
See that one coming.
That's why. I was trying to...
That was a fun one.
I was trying to provide you with... Oh, man, but any stitches or anything?
No,
or?
I mean, it was just a tiny gash or whatever, but we still laugh about it. I mean, it was hysterical. And the whole audience was part of it, and it was just... it was funny, it was not, tragic at all.
But those head things and those face things, they bleed like lawn sprinklers, though.
But if it's funny...
But if it's funny,
You
seem to be most preoccupied. Yeah, 16 stitches, but it was hilarious.
I have a lot of brothers,
right.
Large family.
Yeah, right. You're used to the injury. Oh, that's funny.
Much great theater in town, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard about it here today. South Street at the Pasadena Playhouse on stage through the 16th of October, and at at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, Fred Cavalli Theater, the beautiful 1,800-seat theater out there at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. Annie opens with Sally's Druthers, Norman Large, and a wonderful cast, and it is going to open on the 14th of October.
Yes.
2 weeks only, so make it a point to go out there and see it. And for tickets, ladies and gentlemen, we told you how to go to see South Street. Please do call Cabrillo Music Theater and or Ticketmaster if you like. Ticketmaster 800-745-3000 or Cabrillo Music Theater at 805-497-8613. Or you can visit them online as well. Cabrillo Music Theater.
And as always, we will have all of these links on our website, so you can go there for anything that you missed to listen to archived episodes or check out the information on these shows that we discussed. That is stateoftheartsla.com. Once again, stateoftheartsla.com. Such a pleasure having both of you here.
Absolutely.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Hope you had as much fun as we did.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
A blast.
You will come back.
Yes.
All right.
Michael,
look forward to it.
Look forward to sharing the mic with you next week.
All right, sir.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.